Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
All right, so Matt, you know, Ashley and I like to go hiking a lot. So I decided I was going to make us a playlist, a music playlist for when we go hiking.
Yeah, cool.
I added music from the Peanuts cartoon. I've got the Cranberries, I've got Eminem in there, and I call it my trail mix.
Oh yeah, I saw that one coming a mile away. That's good though. I like it.
I had to get the punchline out before you before you figured it out. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the graveyard. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Adam.
And my name's Matt.
Now, pull up a tombstone or settle into your casket and get comfortable, because this is Graveyard Tales. All right, everybody, here we are again. Matt, how you doing tonight, brother?
Man, I'm pretty good.
Good.
It's been kind of a crazy last couple of weeks, and took the day off, and so now I'm up in the graveyard where I like to be. And
heck yeah,
pretty good.
Yep. Well, we got storms rolling in today, so if you hear any thunder, I promise it's thunder. It's not anything weird happening in the room here. So
it's not Adam passing gas.
Yeah, exactly. It's Mother
Roar
Nature.
The thunder.
I promise. So, real quick, we want to say go check out the Podbelly Network at podbelly.com. Go on their website. You can find some different shows that you might enjoy. We're proud to be members of the Podbelly Network and be associated with these shows. So, go check them out. Find something you might like, podbelly.com. We also want to thank tonight's sponsors, Magic Spoon, Shudder, and Every Plate. And we'll talk a little bit more about them here shortly. Now, next week is a dark week. And I know how much you guys hate dark weeks, but next week is a dark week. And the way the schedule is, we've had a lot more double dark weeks this year than we have before. And October, for some reason, the way it timed out, is supposed to be a double dark week. But in Graveyard Tales fashion, Matt and I are not going to do that to you. Especially since on the second dark week, it's Halloweekend.
That's right.
So instead of being dark that week, we're going to put out an ad-free show for you guys that Matt and I are super excited about. We think you're going to love it. So don't worry. You'll have a bonus episode that week. I think it's the 29th, Matt, that Friday before Halloween. And I think it's going to be a fitting episode for Halloween.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. So we're looking forward to it. You guys should be looking forward to it as well. I think you're really gonna enjoy it. It's not gonna be just the typical. We're gonna talk about something scary. We're gonna talk about all kinds of stuff. It's gonna be fun.
Yep. I was gonna say it goes a little bit outside of the normal Graveyard Tales episode. Which will be fun for our favorite holiday. Speaking of holidays, as we said last time, it's that time of year where we need you to send in your stories for our Christmas episode. So if you have a personal encounter, anything like that, whether it be ghosts, aliens, doppelgangers, multi-dimensions, anything like that. If you have a personal experience of something that was weird or spooky or otherworldly, email it to us. GraveyardTalesPodcast@gmail.com. I almost forgot our email address. So GraveyardTalesPodcast@gmail.com and put in the subject line Christmas 2021 or holiday episode 2021, something like that, so that when I'm going through there, I can find it easily and move it to the proper folder. But you guys know we do this every year.
So we, you know, every year now we celebrate that old Victorian tradition of telling ghost stories around the fire on Christmas Eve. And so this started kind of as a, oh, this will be kind of fun. And it's really grown. We get listeners start asking, are y'all going to do the Christmas story thing again?
Mm-hmm.
So now it's just become tradition. So if you want to be a part of that, get your stories into us so we can go over them, get them ready. You know, I think last year we had two or three, you know, different shows where we were reading out the stories.
Yeah, so it was three. It was so many. We did three.
Yeah. So it was fantastic. And we appreciate everybody that participated, and we're looking forward to even more of you sending in stories this year.
Right. So GraveyardTalesPodcast@gmail.com, put in the subject line that Christmas 2021. And I mean, if you want another way to do it, you can actually text message our show number, which is 430-558-1304. You can text your story to that if that would be easier for you than an email. I would say leave it in a voicemail, but voicemails are not long enough and it doesn't really transcribe it well. However, I would have to weed through all the voicemails of my car warranty being up to find it. So I don't know how it's a show phone number and they're like, your car's warranty is up and we've been trying to get. No, you haven't. That's how I know it's a lie. Before we get into the show tonight, wanted to say thank you to Ashley S. We mentioned this on a bonus episode before, but wanted to talk about it now. She crocheted, knit. I don't know the technical term.
I think it's crocheted.
Matt and I both blankets. They're black with skulls on them. Love it. So we, finally got the second one in. She mailed it off a while ago, but I don't check the P.O. box every day. So finally picked it up today and just wanted to give her a shout out. I know she's listening and I know she's in our Facebook group. So thank you, Ashley, for crocheting those blankets for us and for bringing one to the get together with Scott and Forrest when you came up.
Yeah. Yeah. My kids love it.
I'm going to have to hide mine.
Mm-hmm. I tried. They still find it. They're like gremlins. All right, Adam, let's take a minute and talk about one of tonight's sponsors, Magic Spoon. Now, when I was growing up, cereal was a staple breakfast for me. I mean, it was every morning, bowl of cereal, get to school. Or my favorite time was Saturday morning cartoons, sitting in front of the television with a big, huge bowl of cereal I was eating at the time.
Yep.
Loved it. And even as an adult, I still love it. But I really don't need all that extra sugar and calories that come with, you know, traditional sweet, sugary cereal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, I've tried to be healthy. I know you and Ashley are trying to be healthy. So that's one thing that I've always thought. Well, you know, I can drink my protein shakes. I can eat my eggs. I can, you know, do all this. I can't have any of these really great cereals that I used to love.
Sure.
Until Magic Spoon came along.
That's right.
And it is absolutely perfect for those folks that really still love cereal but don't want all that sugary, sweet, unhealthy stuff.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'm with you. I'm a big cereal hound myself, and this has been a big help with us going to the gym and trying to eat healthier. I can still get my cereal fix because it has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. And there's only 140 calories a serving. And you can be on really whatever diet you want to be on because it's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. And the cool thing is you can build your own box. You can pick different flavors and build your own box of cereal, which how many places do you get to do that, Matt?
Right. That's great.
Yeah, that's not a normal thing. So their available flavors that you can build your box from are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and maple waffle. And cookies and cream and maple waffle have actually been brought back permanently because they were introduced for a limited time. And then everybody that ate it was like, okay, look, you need to bring that back because that's awesome. And I completely understand. That maple waffle has become my new favorite.
Yeah, mine too. Now, I still love the cinnamon, but that maple waffle reminds me of a cereal I had as a kid. It is fantastic.
That's right. And you can also, they say, mix the cocoa and the peanut butter together and you get a chocolate-covered peanut butter cup without naming a brand. You know what I'm talking about. So if you want to build your own box, all you got to do is go to magicspoon.com/grave, that's G-R-A-V-E, to grab your custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code GRAVE, G-R-A-V-E, at checkout, and you can save $5 off your entire order.
Yeah, and Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. So remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/grave and use our promo code GRAVE, that's G-R-A-V-E, to save $5.
Thanks, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. So, Matt, that's all I've got. Why don't you tell us, what are we talking about tonight, brother?
Okay, so tonight, Adam and I are going to talk about something that we've mentioned on the show many, many times, but we've never really gone into any detail as to what they are. Now, the people that are into this kind of research, they believe that there is a energy grid that surrounds the entire planet made up of diagonal crisscrossing lines called ley lines.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, you've heard us say ley lines before. If you listen to other shows like this one, I'm sure you've heard it dozens of times there too. And you may have a general understanding of what a ley line is, but we're going to expand on that a little bit tonight and talk about, you know, what the idea is behind ley lines, who developed the theories behind them, and why they're important. Mm-hmm. in the pseudoscience world, as they get tagged with. But there's a lot of unique things that happen that are attributed to ley lines. So we're gonna get into this. We're gonna talk a little bit about what they are, and how they came to be. So, Adam, why don't you fill us in on that?
All right. So as we always say, go check our sources. You can find all the links to where we found this information down at the bottom of our show notes. You can follow along in some of the articles that we're reading from, or you can keep going and do your own research and dive a little deeper than what we're able to get here. So go check our sources, bottom of the show notes. Now, ley lines refer to straight alignments drawn between various historic structures and prominent landmarks. Now, the idea was developed in the early 20th century Europe, with ley line believers arguing that these alignments were recognized by ancient societies that deliberately erected structures along them. Now, since the 1960s, members of the Earth Mysteries Movement and other esoteric traditions have commonly believed that such ley lines demarcate Earth energies, like Matt was saying, and serve as guides for alien spacecraft. So we will get a little woo in this here in a minute, but
just a little woo.
Yeah, but it does pertain to it. So we have to talk about it because the information's out there and it's what people are saying. Now, this says that archaeologists and scientists regard ley lines as an example of pseudo-archaeology and pseudoscience, like Matt said, which is kind of a shame because I and we'll talk about it a little more, but I do believe that there's something to this. And after Matt does his part, we can talk about that, but you'll see why after he does his part, why I think there's something to it. Now, Alfred Watkins, he lived from 1855 to 1935, originated the idea of ley lines and surveyed alignments which articulated the prehistoric landscape of Britain in his native Herefordshire in the 1920s. Now, I know I said that wrong, but it's an a British town name, and I never get those right. So please correct me if you've got a British accent and you can say it right. Please say it, because I can't.
I think Americans tend to put in too many hard syllables.
Yep.
You know, it almost seems like we say it. Yeah, it's much smoother and faster.
Yeah.
When somebody from the UK is saying it than what we do.
Yep. See, to me, being a Southern American, it looks like Herefordshire, and that's how I would pronounce it. But I know if I say Shire, I get people, our UK listeners say it's not Shire, it's Sure. So It's probably Herefordshire.
We do the same thing.
Do you like to go to Herefordshire?
We do the same thing. I mean, you know, there is nowhere that is whateverville. It is not Nashville. It is Nashville.
Bull. Yeah. Yep. Nashville.
Yeah.
Hey, my favorite thing about when I lived in Tennessee was there are two names. One was Demumbrian.
Uh-huh.
It's spelled like Demon Brewing or Demon Brian. And the other one is Lebanon.
Yeah.
It's spelled like Lebanon, but it's pronounced Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
And those were always my favorites. Somebody not from around there would say, "Hey, where's Lebanon, Tennessee?" I'm like, that doesn't exist. There's a Lebanon.
Yeah, there's no such place.
There's not a Lebanon. There's a Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this goes on to say that despite the skepticism of academic archaeologists, his vision of ley lines helped shape popular views of British landscape in the interwar years and during a revival of Watkins's work from 1969, practices and perceptions of British land art. So there was a revival of his work in 1969, and that's where a lot of the new information that we have comes from, is that 1969 revisiting of his stuff. But this was back in the 1920s that he made this connection. Now, this goes on to say that the idea has its fullest exposition in Watkins's book, The Old Straight Track, from 1925, with photographs taken throughout his native Herefordshire. I'll just get them all out of the way, just in case. I will put up some of those pictures from The Old Straight Track on our Patreon page. I've got some of those, and I've got some of ley line maps, but the older pictures you'll see will be from this book, The Old Straight Track. Now, this says the search for ley lines became a cult in the countryside discovery movement of 1930s Britain and was revived with the republication in 1970 of the Old Straight Tract with a foreword by John Mitchell, author of The View Over Atlantis in 1969. Now, ley lines became connected with all manner of enigmatic lines in the landscape, such as dowsing lines, feng shui, and the patterns scraped on the remote Nazca Plateau of Peru.
And, you know, I've actually seen video of people in areas where supposed ley lines are using dowsing rods and watching them react to the energy, you know, right. I mean, they, you know, literally they can walk 5 feet away.
Yep.
You know, they're just sitting there, walk 5 feet to the left. Zoop, you know, the rods begin to cross.
Yep.
And there's, I mean, I saw it dozens of times. So that's one of the ways that they have been able to somewhat map these lines.
Yeah. And some of those are, because people say, oh, well, they know where that line is. So they're just making the dowsing rods do that. But there's some of them that they got a dowsing person out and just had them do their thing, not telling them where the ley line was supposed to be. And they found it that way and corroborated it with the ley line map. So maybe some of it is, oh, they know where it's at. So they're making the dowsing rods cross. But several of them, that's not the case. And it's not like you can say, people will say, oh, well, you know, when psychics go into buildings, they already know the history of the building. They've memorized it so they can then fake it and whatever. That happens. We know that happens. But it's, I don't think there's a way where you can memorize all the ley lines on a map and know exactly where that ley line is supposed to be when you're taken out there. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And, you know, there's other things that will cause a dowsing rod to react.
Yeah, sure.
You know, you've got the obvious, you know, an underground spring or something like that. So it may not necessarily be reacting to a ley line. But again, like Adam said, you know, you can know the general vicinity of where one is supposed to be, and then you can see for yourself. I mean, if you're worried about somebody moving the dowsing rods, much like one of the videos I watched, let them hold them. It's like, well, I've never really done this. It doesn't matter. Just hold them and don't move them.
Yep.
Okay. And so the guy's holding them, and then he just walks a little bit, just, and he's like, I am not doing this. So, yep. I mean, this is, yeah, I mean, people can fake it, but it's easy to disprove if they're faking it.
Right.
You know, just
right.
Dowsing rods are not hard to come by, and they're not all that expensive, and you can go do it yourself.
Yep. I want to try dowsing sometime, but maybe that can be a Graveyard Tales bonus video, Adam learning to douse.
Hey, look, I had this conversation when we were in West Tennessee a month or so ago with a man, his brother, you know, and he's looking at me. He's like, you ever seen anybody, he called it witching a well. He said, you ever seen anybody witch a well?
Yeah, water said, witching, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I sure have. And he goes, I never seen nothing like it. He said those little rods will just sit there and just boop. He's like, just cross right over. And he said, you can feel them moving in your hands and ain't nothing you're doing.
Right.
I said, yeah, I've seen it. You know, I've seen it happen.
It's nuts, man. And for a long time, I didn't believe in it, but I do now. I've seen enough where like there's something going on. Now, this goes on to say that to those who do believe in ley lines, the concept is quite simple. Ley lines are lines that crisscross around the globe, like latitudinal and longitudinal lines, that are dotted with monuments and natural landforms and carry along with them rivers of supernatural energy. Now, along these lines, at the places they intersect, there are pockets of concentrated energy that can be harnessed by certain individuals. So that's basically a quick rundown of what they are. They're lines around the globe, and this is where the energy of the earth moves from one place to another is along these ley lines. And if you've got a cross, it's basically doubling or quadrupling your energy at that point, because you've got one line of energy going one way and another one coming and intersecting with it. And right there in that intersection, that's where you get places that are supposed to be super spiritual or energy vortexes or something like that.
Yeah. And we're going to discuss some of those specific places and what people have experienced along these vertices.
Right. And that's what I was talking about when I said, y'all will understand why I think there's something to it when we get done here. Now, this says Watkins backed up the existence of his ley lines by pointing out that many monuments around the globe can seemingly be connected by a straight line. For example, stretching from the southern tip of Ireland all the way to Israel, there is a straight line that connects seven different landforms that bear the name Michael or some form of it. And that's probably the one that most people have heard about. There's, if you look it up, it's the Michael ley line or St. Michael ley line. And there are churches, monuments, whatever, along this line. And every one of them is associated with the name Michael. So you have to wonder why along this line were all these ancient civilizations building something and putting the name Michael there. And one of the theories I've heard, Matt, is that, just like I said in the beginning, that they are alien pathways for UFOs to come through. And one of the theories, when you talk to guys like that Tsoukalos guy, is that an alien actually traveled up these lines and told different nations that they needed to build a monument right here and name it this. And that's why they all, even though they may not have had any connection with the civilization on the far end of it, the one on the top end of it would still have something named Michael. And it's because a UFO was going through and telling them to do that. Now, that's one of those woo answers, but that's one of the things being said, especially about the ones that have monuments all named similar things that stretch across the globe.
Yeah, and there is one, I think it's the Great Female Dragon, that line goes from Australia through Bali all the way across to Stonehenge.
Yep.
You know, and there's lines of different lengths. You know, there's lines that are, you know, 3-4 miles, you know, then there's lines that are hundreds of miles, sometimes thousands of miles. And then when you look, as Adam said, you look at each individual line, not only will you notice that there are significant historical landmarks, ancient landmarks along these lines, there are unique either temples or geological formations at the spots where these lines intersect, where this supposed energy vortex occurs.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They're not always man-made.
Right.
Sometimes it's a natural formation that ancient cultures have dubbed a power spot or a holy spot or sacred area. And you have to then wonder, okay, why? Why is it in this specific spot along a ley line? And why did they name it such a holy spot? Is there something connected to it?
Yeah. And there, for example, there is a magnetic point in Australia that connects to Lake Titicaca and Uluwatu by the female great dragon ley line. And in Australia, they call it the rainbow serpent. Okay. Yep. But this gigantic rock it's just amazing. And it changes color according to the weather, varying from a bright red to a dark gray and black. and there's one account that it actually turned violet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, these are not things that we typically see geologically around the globe. We're seeing something very unique, and it just so happens to coincide with a pretty significant ley line.
Right. Now, this goes on to say that along the ley lines actually lies the Great Pyramids of Giza, Chichen Itza, and Stonehenge. So all wonders of the world that continue to surprise archaeologists today. So, like we were saying, big, big monuments, big ancient monuments are along ley lines. And I'm going to keep asking this question. Why does it just so happen to be that way? If if they're saying, well, it's just paths of travel and they traveled in a straight line. Tell me why it's in a straight line across continents.
Right. Right. And it's not just geological anomalies or ancient spiritual sites. It haunted places lie on these ley lines as well. We're going to get into specifics on some of those, but one show that from a while back, we talked about the Ancient Ram Inn in the UK. It sits on the same ley line that Stonehenge does.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that they built the Ancient Ram Inn on a ley line, but if you go back and listen to that show, the Ancient Ram Inn is pretty significantly haunted. I mean, it has a ton of activity going on fairly routinely, and it's old. I mean, it's way old. One of the oldest places we've ever discussed. And outrageously haunted, but it sits right on a really powerful ley line.
Right, right. Now, ley lines can be the product of ancient surveying. So this is going to talk about possible non-woo, debunking almost ideas of what this is. But it says it can be product of ancient surveying, property markings, or commonly traveled pathways. Many cultures use straight lines across a landscape. So it's saying that's just a thing that they did was build in straight lines. But this says in South America, such lines are often directed toward mountain peaks. The Nazca lines are a famous example of lengthy lines made by ancient cultures. Straight lines connect ancient pyramids in Mexico. Today, modern roads built on the ancient roads deviate around these pyramids, but they built them originally on these pathways, and then instead of like the pathway did, it went right up to the monument. Obviously, they're diverting around the monument. The Chaco culture of northwestern New Mexico cut stairs into sandstone cliffs to facilitate keeping this road straight. Now, additionally, chance alignments and coincidence are often cited as explanations that cannot be ruled out. So this is saying that when, and this part is true, if you look at like old Roman roads, they were straight lines. That right. was how they built their roads. But the question then is, okay, did they build their road straight due to the understanding of the straight ley line points? And, you know, not every road was on a ley line and not every ley line is on a road. But did they fashion their roads being so straight after the ley lines? Or was it just coincidence, because the shortest distance between two points is a straight line.
That's what I was going to say.
So,
but, you know, that brings up the potential of having to dig some tunnels or build some bridges if you're going to keep the road in a straight line.
Right. So it may be the shortest distance, but is it the easiest?
That's right. And it certainly wouldn't be the easiest to construct for ancient Romans. I don't know. It's really odd. But another thing that's curious to me is how did the Romans build their roads so straight over such long distances?
Yeah.
Look, man, it's hard enough for me to draw a straight line down a piece of paper without it beginning to veer left or right. And I can see where it's going.
Yep.
But can you imagine trying to, you're going to build a straight road from this city to one that's 50 miles away?
Right.
Well, hell, even a mile away. I mean, how are you going to, what are you going to use as your guidepost to make sure that you're not gradually veering east or west, and you're going to wind up, you know, maybe a half a mile or, you know, several miles off the mark. And then you're like, uh-oh, well, now we got to build a straight turn.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
well, that goes to the knowledge of ancient civilizations that I think, you know, they were way more knowledgeable than we give them credit for. And that actually, you bring that up, I'll go ahead and tease to it. I hadn't even told you, but I'm going to do a Patreon episode on Roman concrete and stuff like that. Because it ties into my belief that they're a lot more advanced than what scientists give them credit for. So you speaking of straight lines, the straight roads, that's another thing that would go to that. How did they have the surveying equipment if they're as unknowledgeable about certain things as scientists say they were? So what some people say about ley lines, from this website I found called Otherworldly Oracle. We'll talk about this. And this may sound a little woo-woo, like I was saying before, but we got to look into it because it's what some people are saying about ley lines. So we need to talk about it. And it may seem woo, but it also has the potential of being like, oh, that actually makes a lot of sense.
There's a lot of that when you start talking about ley lines. Yep. Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yep. Especially if you believe things that we have talked about or sort of believe things we have talked about in the past, this may tie right into that. So the title of this thing from the Otherworldly Oracle is Corpse Roads, Fairy Paths, and Ley Lines. So it says, spirits travel the earth in straight lines. These straight lines are theorized to be ley lines. In Britain and other places in Europe, there's something known as a corpse road. Now, a corpse road was a path taken by a funerary procession to move the dead from the place of death to the place of the funeral, a church typically. Terrifying stories are told of these corpse roads, including a headless black dog, ghostly lights known as corpse lights, and soul-sucking wraiths. Now, this says, do these spirits haunt the corpse road because it was the last place their body traveled, or are they drawn to the spiritual energy of these ancient ley lines? So, before we go any further, that's another question. How did they know to travel these paths, the corpse road paths that were ley lines? How did they know? You know, coincidence? What was it? But if you're going to be taking a body and ferrying it to the land of the dead, even as humans, a ley line, if they are powerful, like people say they are, that's a good way to do it. Keep it in the, basically the power artery there.
Yeah.
And there's a church built on that ley line. So it all kind of, you know, they've got the ghostly activity. They've got the black dogs. They've got all this on the ley line. So coincidence?
I don't think so.
I don't either. I don't believe in coincidences, really. Now, the next one is the fairy pathways. And it says fairies, also known as, quote, the wee folk, are known to travel along specified pathways as well. There are many tales in Britain and Ireland that point out fairy pathways into hills and over fairy bridges. These pathways are known as ferry paths, and folks are warned not to get caught on a ferry path during twilight hours or at night for fear the fae might carry them away. And it says, are these ferry paths ley lines? I'm gonna go out on a limb, and y'all know that the fae realm is something that I have maybe an unhealthy belief in, but I do, like I've said before, I think the fae realm can explain a lot of things. So if ley lines are a power center and the fae realm is right there, it's highly possible that these fairy paths that people talked about, where you could have encounters with the fae, you could move to the fae realm, are ley lines.
Yeah, this could be where the energy is concentrated enough where you could actually cross over.
Yeah.
So
what if it's like portals at those ley lines because of the power, the energy there?
Right. And maybe it's just, it's where, you know, the fae would be able to cross over. But take a human back.
Right.
And we discussed some different types of fae that would do something like that. But, you know, you have some disappearances along, you know, a road. People vanish without a trace. And, you know, stories start coming out. And people start believing, you know, hey, the fae must have been responsible for this person who just vanished off the face of the earth.
And,
you know, sure, it was a lot easier to hide back then.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a lot. A lot of these stories come from actual events, and whether it was a story that was developed to explain a trend in events, or whether it was, you know, the old tales that were just passed down. And then you look and you say, wow, there are a lot of people that go missing. There are a lot of reports of haunted activity or strange activity along this path, you know, in this area. Then you begin to start making those kind of connections and say, okay, this energy path must be, there's more to it than just there's energy there. Something is utilizing that energy.
Right. And since we're talking about roads, I can throw this in here. It would seem out of place if I just brought it up anywhere else. But one thing I was thinking about the other day, I was driving and I thought about this. We discuss liminal areas, right? Places in between, like stairwells, doorways, stuff like that. And these liminal spaces are places of heightened paranormal activity. Roads are a liminal space by nature.
Yeah.
You're in transit from one spot to another spot. So by the nature of that and the liminal space having more paranormal activity, that's why there are a lot of haunted roads.
Yeah.
Ghost cars, stuff like that. So as a, even if it's not a quote ley line, these old pathways that people walk to get from one place to another, liminal space.
Yeah.
Could be heightened paranormal activity, especially if you're talking about a funerary road. That is definitely a liminal space. You're going from living to dead in that.
Yeah.
So I think that, I don't know, in my head, that helps to explain some of the paranormal activity on roads.
Yeah. Just, I mean, think about how many haunted bridges there are.
Yep.
So, liminal space. Another significant liminal space.
Right. Now, this says, though it seems an outdated idea, ley lines affect us in modern times just as much as the past. If you're a believer in vibration and energy, if you believe Mother Earth is a living being, then you'll understand why ley lines are important. This says, I like to think of them as Mother Earth's veins, sacred sites where the Earth allows us to easily tap into her energy. If you feel revitalized after taking a dip in the ocean, hiking in the mountains, or dipping your feet into a creek, then you'll feel the energetic potency of being near or directly on a ley line. And you and I have talked about that, Matt. After being in the woods, I feel rejuvenated. Get up in the mountains, in the woods, it rejuvenates me. For you, it's the ocean.
Yeah.
It's on the shore. So if you believe that Mother Nature is a living being, then this is saying that the writer of this, they believe that ley lines are the veins of the earth. Where like our veins carry blood, ley lines carry the energy of the earth. This says that in addition to speaking with spirits at local ley lines, the energy of ley lines can be used in various forms of magic, with a K. Enlightenment is number one. This should go without saying that a journey to local sites will give you divine insight. Says healing is another form of ley line magic. While there, ask Mother Earth to send healing vibrations through your feet and into the rest of your body to the top of your head. Stand still for a while and you can literally feel the healing energy pulsing up from the earth. It's truly amazing. Other forms of ley line magic include drawing love to oneself, abundance, grounding, and cleansing.
So, yeah, I mean, you'll hear about people that are earthing, you know, just getting out, you know, walking on the grass with their bare feet.
Yeah. They don't live in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. They, you know, fire ants don't like ley lines apparently. So you
no,
don't
I
have
guess
to...
not. And those hornets and stuff don't either. Apparently.
All the bitey stingy stuff is in Texas. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. All right, Matt, so let's take a second and talk about one of our longtime sponsors. They've been with us for a long, long time, and that's AMC Shudder. So summer's over. There's a chill in the air for most parts. You know, Texas, you got it in the morning, then it gets hot again. But we're still coming into fall, and spooky season is finally here. So you can watch these horror movies, scary movies, without anybody judging you. And there's no better place for horror than Shudder. And it's kicked off its annual 61 Days of Halloween. It's a two-month supersized celebration full of new movies and series, like a new season of Creepshow and VHS 94, a brand new installment in the acclaimed found footage anthology franchise. And that's just the start of Shudder's unbeatable Halloween lineup. There are new specials from Elvira and Joe Bob Briggs, a new season of the Boulay Brothers' Dracula, their new docu-series Behind the Monsters on the origins and pop culture dominance of your favorite modern movie monsters, and so much more. Some of the notable titles they have are Carrie from 1976, love that movie, Superhost, Martyrs Lane, they've got Creepshow Season 3, Elvira's 40th Anniversary, Very Scary, Very Special, Seance, and they got Joe Bob's Halloween Hoedown, among a ton of others.
You can stream great thrillers, horror, and suspense for only $5.99 a month or $56.99 a year. That is an unbeatable value for the content that you get access to. I mean, Shudder has the largest, fastest-growing, curated selection of thrilling and dangerous entertainment. It truly is the Netflix of horror. And you can stream on virtually any device you have, iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, Xbox, Amazon Fire TV, Chromecast, Roku, and so many more. There's really no reason if you are into thrillers, horror movies, slasher films, whatever, or you just love new content, just something different, Shudder is right for you.
Absolutely. You know, we've talked about this before, Matt, but I am a fan of those cheesy B horror movies, and I have to say, man, there has been no better streaming service for that than AMC Shudder. I can get on there and watch all of the cheesy horror movies that I want from the 70s, 80s, 90s, all of those in that genre, and I don't have to have the entire DVD rack full of DVDs like I used to. I mean, I had half my living room full. You probably remember that. Full of DVDs. I don't have to anymore with Shudder.
So you can get started streaming the best horror, thriller, and supernatural content. Shudder's expertly curated collection includes must-see titles like Vicious Fun, The Mortuary Collection, and PG, Psycho Gorman, plus all the best horror documentaries and the hit Creepshow TV series from executive producer Greg Nicotero of The Walking Dead. To try Shudder free for 30 days, go to Shudder.com and use promo code GRAVE. That's SHUDDER.com using the promo code GRAVE, GRAVE.
That's right. This is a great deal because you can try Shudder free for 30 days and get started now, and you can watch at least half of the 61 days of Halloween before your free 30 days is up. And to do that, all you've got to do is go to Shudder.com, that's SHUDDER.com, and use our promo code GRAVE, GRAVE.
But yeah, a lot of people do that. In fact, I remember having a patient who actually had a sheet set, a bed sheet set that was woven with silver thread. It was a regular sheet, but it had silver thread woven in through it.
Yeah.
And then it had this long piece, okay, with a spike on it, like looked like a long pointed tent spike, just, you know, small, about the size of a number two pencil.
Mm-hmm.
And you ran that line that was connected to the corner of the sheet out your window, and you drove that spike into the ground. And it was supposed to be pulling the energy from the earth and basically wrapping yourself in it at night when you went to bed to, you know, they promoted it for healing, you know, pain relief, relaxation, you know, cured insomnia, you know, all of that. And it sounds hokey as all get out.
Sure. Yeah.
When I looked at it, I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yep.
But when you start looking into this about the Earth's energy and what people have done for centuries, you begin to wonder.
Yep.
Maybe there's something to this. Maybe there's a legitimate healing power to the earth.
Sure, yeah. I've had to in multiple cases, multiple times over the past 5 or 6 years, especially past 4 years while doing this research, I've had to tell myself, open your mind, shut your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do get into these preconceptions of what in the woo-woo hocus-pocus are you talking about? That I can put this thing in the ground and it's going to wrap me in earth energy and all that. That sounds like a bunch of malarkey and you wasted your money.
Yeah.
But if you suspend that disbelief that has been driven into your head since you were a little kid and actually look at it, like Matt said, cultures and peoples have been doing stuff like this for millennia. The practice most likely wouldn't keep up if there wasn't some effect from it.
Right.
If it was a pointless thing that nothing happened ever, then I think it would end up dying eventually. But because it hasn't, and because we keep seeing it, you have to then ask yourself, well, A, is there something that happens because of this? And B, is it a measurable effect that will actually help?
Mm-hmm.
So rather than just shutting it off and saying, oh, that can't happen, that sounds stupid, look at it. You know, don't be those people that Matt and I are really bothered by in the debunking world, where they just say, nope, doesn't happen, and they move on.
Right, with no real study or anything.
Yeah, look into it. You know, if you don't believe it, that's fine. But maybe give it a little bit of thought.
Yeah.
Because maybe, or do an investigation on it, and then if nothing comes of it, then you can say, okay, I looked into it, has no effect for me, so I'm not gonna deal with it. But I mean, I'd say that all because I still find myself doing that sometimes. As much as I'm into this, I still have to tell myself, look, Adam, shut your mouth, open your mind up a little bit, and let's look into it some before you judge it. So to end out my part here, I wanted to give y'all a really short, condensed list of some of the sacred sites that supposedly lie along these ley lines in the United States. So they along these ley lines are the Montana megaliths, Pryor Mountains megaliths in Montana, Bighorn Medicine Wheel in New York, Sedona, Arizona. We know Sedona is supposedly a vortex area.
Mm-hmm.
Serpent Mount in Ohio, Mount Shasta in California that we've talked about, Mount Denali, and the Tocobaga Indian Mound in Florida. So along ley lines, you've got all these spots that are supposedly vortices and stuff like that, and holy areas for ancient cultures, and they're right here. And this is just a short list. There's many more, but we know we've talked about Mount Shasta, and Mount Shasta's crazy, and it lies on a ley line. So, Matt, you got a bunch more. So you take over here and give us some more of this so that people can believe by the time we're done.
Yeah. All right. So with all this energy flowing through the earth, something is bound to be using this power. Okay. I mean, you know, Adam and I have talked about several different things that occur along these lines that's attributed to the energy. So someone is harnessing this energy and using it. And you know, Adam and I have discussed before how many times paranormal investigators will be looking into a haunted location and learn that the site either sits on or near a ley line. Researchers believe that these ley lines will fuel the spiritual activity in an area, which creates kind of a paranormal hotspot, so to speak. Now, there is an area in South Chicago known as the Archer Triangle to ghost hunters that's one of these hotspots. Now, it's bordered by Willow Springs, Justice, and Lockport. And paranormal researchers Ursula Bilski, Dale Kazmarek, and Neil Gibbons, who I think all three we've mentioned on the show before.
I feel like we have, yeah.
I know we've talked about Dale Kazmarek, and I'm pretty sure we mentioned Neil Gibbons a time or two. But they point to an abundance of ley lines in this region, this south area of Chicago, as well as the presence of limestone and moving water. They say that would be the potential cause for the increased paranormal activity here. Now, water and limestone, as Adam and I have said before, are thought to act like a battery for paranormal activity. Wherever you have a high concentration of water and limestone, you're more likely to have people experiencing paranormal things. Now, Kazmarek says that the Archer Avenue tour connects 20 haunted sites in a straight line. Now, here we go. We've got all of these 20 haunted sites, and in a straight line, that's unusual.
Yep.
Having 20 in one particular area is unusual enough, but for them all to lie roughly on a straight line, that's even more bizarre. And those are really only the public sites. You know, there's research that shows where investigators have worked in private homes and businesses along Archer Avenue where the people involved didn't necessarily want to talk about it. They just wanted help with the problem. Now, stories abound from this area, like the Phantom Monks of St. James at Sag Bridge. Now, Kaczmarek caused the Phantom Monk stories, which began around 1973, with reports of several robed monk-like figures climbing the Sag Bridge from an open field to the east and northeast, carrying candles and chanting in a language thought to be Latin. Yeah. Now, Bachelor's Grove Cemetery is also a very active location, and Bachelor's Grove has been known for its sightings for a long time, like the ghostly farmer and his plow and horse in a hurry, or the so-called Madonna in white, sometimes carrying her baby and other times looking for her baby. There is a spooky old caretaker who's been known to accost visitors and then disappear if they look away for a second. And there's a large Victorian house that just floats and appears and disappears.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's pretty active. We've mentioned Bachelor's Grove before, and I can't remember when or why, but all of those stories, they were familiar to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, they saw, Neil Gibbons says Bachelor's Grove up until the 1950s was beautiful. Families went to picnic there and deep in the cemetery and visit graves. Kids would swim in the pond. Said it was nice. It was tranquil. The 1960s is when the cultists started coming in. And they started doing things like animal sacrifices. They dug up graves. And in Gibbons' opinion, this is where it all started. But he thinks that there was an infestation and the cemetery land became oppressed. And these people conjuring and opening portals and doing things that they shouldn't do have led to essentially a possession of the land. And
I can see that it
makes some sense. And because of the ley line energy in this area, and you combine that with the limestone and the water, you know, you've really got a powerful energy source that can hold on to these, you know, all this spiritual activity that people are experiencing around there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Gibbon says when he takes tour groups to Bachelor's Grove, they stay around an hour, and he says they'll record weird voices. If you go to their YouTube channel, you can hear their EVP recordings. And he says that the trail that leads to the cemetery actually seems more haunted than the cemetery itself.
It liminal space, the road.
That's right. It's a liminal space. You're possibly traveling right along a ley line. There's going to be the potential for a lot of stuff to happen.
Yep.
Now, Kaczmarek says he's heard reports of a headless man that walks near Guger Road and Route 6 in New Lenox Township. And he says there's a rumor that he killed himself in a nearby barn. He said he's also heard about drivers along Bruce Road seeing a torso of a man floating towards cars on the right side of the road. But when the cars approach the stop sign at the intersection, the image fades away. Now, he also says that the auditorium at Lockport Central High School is haunted by cold spots. Says people also talk about sitting next to a figure during performances in the auditorium who's very quiet. And when the performance ends, the figure disappears right before their eyes. Mm. Can you imagine you're sitting in a chair in the theater and you're like, hey, that's my kid up there. And this person's just sitting there not saying a word. You'd be like, all right, rude.
What a jerk. Yeah.
Look, sitting I know my kid a is a tree, but it's the best tree that's ever been up there.
Right.
You can at least say something.
And then turn around at the very end and you're like, dude ghosted me. What the hell?
But suffice to say, if a heavy concentration of ley lines like the one in the Archer Triangle brings about increased energy, then the intersection of these lines, as we mentioned earlier, should be even more powerful. Now, some believe that these intersections create, as Adam mentioned, an energy vortex, which allows more to occur than just a slew of ghost sightings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many people believe that these energy vortexes can bring about healing and purification. And many cultures around the world have an understanding of these unique lines. China calls them dragon lines. South America calls them spirit lines. And in Australia, they use the term dream lines. So what is also fascinating is that where these lines meet, they also perfectly align with astrological constellations. And we've seen that too with the yep. pyramids at Giza lining up with Orion and, you know, those kind of things. You know, I know a lot of people have just said, well, it's not exact, or it's just kind of a coincidence. There's not really a connection. Like, it happens too often for it to not be some type of connection.
Yep. Yep.
Now, Bali, what I mentioned before, it is the purification center of the planet. So if you're impure, get yourself to Bali. Now, there are six purification regions in Bali which circulate and cleanse the energetic blood of the earth. This is referencing Adam, you know, calling these lines the veins of Mother Earth. Mm-hmm. Like, so a lot of people will make a pilgrimage to Bali for this purpose. You know, it's time to cleanse myself. You know, if the earth cleanses here, then I should go there to cleanse as well.
Sure. Yep.
Now, people say there's really no healing place on earth that's quite like Bali. As soon as you step foot on the land, visitors say they feel a unique energy that's really difficult to put into words. The spiritual island is known for its 1,000 temples and 1 million offerings, which are made every day. There are six ley lines in Bali, passing through the six sites where the energy of each of the elements are purified.
Hmm.
So it's pretty cool. And if you don't know where Bali is, it sits kind of south of the Philippines and just west of Australia. So it's
yeah.
fits kind of right there in a little series of islands. Pretty amazing place. It's odd that seems to be the place that's the purification center.
Yeah. I mean, yes, it's just, it's such an out of the way spot. Like, if you think about it, like a Mother Earth being a living creature, and if they've got to purify something, that's the spot that historically would probably have a lower concentration of people. It's out away from other continents and stuff. So that's where, I guess, more of these connect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an out of the way cleansing spot. It's not something that's easy to get to. I don't know. I'm trying to think of, like, you have pilgrimages. Back in, you know, thousands of years ago, you would have people going pilgrimages to holy spots, and some of the bigger holy spots were kind of hard to get to.
Right.
So what if that's the case with this?
Mm-hmm.
It's a holy spot. It's very pure, and it's really hard to get to, especially, you know, centuries ago.
Yeah. You got to want it.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, let's talk about Mount Shasta, which Adam brought up earlier. Now, this beautiful California landscape is a energetic icon in the U.S. The volcano is surrounded by dark green forests, which stretch all the way to the sacred site in Oregon. People that really want spiritual growth and healing will frequently visit Mount Shasta because of its extremely potent energy that's said to awaken the crown chakra for a higher connection to oneself. Now, Native Americans would share stories of the volcano being the center of the universe, and many ceremonies still take place there. And it's also believed to be the dimensional gate of the Lemurian civilization, which Adam and I discussed in our episode about the strange disappearances on and around Mount Shasta.
Yeah, the Lemurians. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting tale right there.
Yeah, yeah. But again, I mean, you know, when we talk about the energy in and around that mountain, it makes sense that if there was going to be a Lemurian civilization and they needed to harness that energy in order to pass from one dimension to the other, this mm-hmm. would be an ideal place. You know, not only is the energy of the ley lines there, but it's a volcano.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a lot of power behind it. So, you know, this is a spot where a lot of weird stuff happens. I mean, we shared a bunch of stories about people that just apparently vanished just without a trace at all on or around Mount Shasta.
They hit one of those ferry roads and mm-hmm. got stolen away.
Or they slipped into another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to mess this up. Mount Calais in the Himalayas. That sounds pretty close. We're going to go with it.
Yep. That's what I'd say.
Now, when you think about the Himalayas, you think about Tibet and the monks and all the mystery and spirituality of those, you know, religious leaders, you know, that live in those mountains and pull from that energy. It's another place that is just absolutely incredible. There's nowhere else like it. You know, they call Tibet what, the roof of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And people go there to seek that higher astral plane for insight from other dimensions.
Right.
But, I mean,
right.
You think about it. I've known someone who has made that, you know, went on sabbatical and took the time and climbed Mount Everest. And they talk about how much of a spiritual experience that really is. It's beyond just so physically and emotionally demanding to be able to withstand, you know, the grueling temperatures, you know, to all of the possibilities that could happen to you on that mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Then you make it to the peak and there's something, you're changed by it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, like I said, for years, this has been a pilgrimage site for many religions, including Hindus, Buddhists, Jains, and Tibetans. Now, when walking the mountain, it is recommended to circle clockwise in the direction of the Earth chakra in order to cultivate it. Now, this next one is one of our favorite places. We talk about it quite often, and that's Stonehenge. But not just Stonehenge, but Avalon and Glastonbury as well. Now, there are many ley lines that run through all of Britain, but the lines around this area are particularly interesting with an intersection of 14 lines at Stonehenge.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, here,
I knew there were several, but I didn't realize it was that many.
14. So if the intersection of two lines creates an energy vortex, imagine what the intersection of 14 lines does.
Mm-hmm.
So here, the female Great Dragon Ley Line connects all the way to Uluru in Australia, plus many other sacred sites around the world. So could this be another communication portal to another dimension? In the area, there have been multiple sightings of crop circles and other extraterrestrial activity. And don't forget that Glastonbury is the home of Avalon, Merlin, and King Arthur, as well as being the land of the Druids.
Yep.
So it's just a unique spot, and we don't fully understand why Stonehenge is a thing.
Right. Sure.
But it's obvious that whoever constructed Stonehenge had at least a fundamental knowledge of the energy that was there. So looking at all this, you have to say that Stonehenge was built with a purpose. And yep. And we may not be seeing all of it. You know, there's good indicator that, you know, part of it is gone now. And if we were able to fully see the full structure, that it possibly could make a little bit more sense. But the way it lines up again with the stars in Orion, it's fascinating to me that this is one yep. of these spots.
Now, you said something that made me think of something I heard, and it wasn't while doing this research, but I had heard you saying communication, that one way ancients harnessed the power of ley lines was a worldwide communication network. And that's why places like the pyramids and Stonehenge and stuff are on that, is because that's where they went to communicate with others on the earth, mm-hmm. not necessarily extraterrestrials or anything like that. But they would, and we asked the question, well, how did all these disparate nations communicate with each other and come up with the same ideas? What if all these monuments were connected by the ley lines so that their priests could go there and communicate telepathically or otherwise with another priest at another holy site?
Right. And that I love this theory, because one thing that I've always asked is about Easter Island. How did they know? I mean, that is the most remote place on planet Earth. How did they know to even get there, and why would they build the Moai on that little island way out in the Pacific Ocean? But yet that island sits on a ley line, on multiple ley lines go through that area.
Mm-hmm.
And could that have been how they knew? You know, could they have been communicating with other civilizations, being out as remote as they were, but yep. yet they had a way to communicate via these ley lines?
And I really think that there's something to that theory, because evidence points to there being communication between disparate societies centuries ago. They didn't have telephones, they didn't have Wi-Fi, but ley lines might have acted as ancient internet.
Mm-hmm.
And it allowed messages to get from one culture to another. Important messages about worldwide events. And, you know, maybe the cultures didn't understand that they were talking to a shaman from another society on the other side of the world. Maybe they thought it was a god, or maybe they knew. Maybe they said, hey, you know, this is Bob Shaman over in the Americas, and I'm talking to him.
Hi, Bob Shaman, Shaman Refrigeration.
Yep. And they could do like the three-way calls that we used to do back in the day. You get with Bob Shaman, and then Bob Shaman calls Carl. And then you, Bob, and Carl are all on a group chat together talking about, you know, Crazy Danny over there.
Yeah.
And it's just, I joke, but I do believe that it's a ancient communication site, or I believe that that's the possibility that it could have been an ancient communication network.
Yeah. We don't know that, but it's cool to think about it. And, you know,
how else did Tesla connect? He said he was going to be able to give worldwide free energy.
Yeah.
What would he have been connecting to?
Exactly.
Ley lines, possibly.
Mm-hmm. But you know, the Pacific Ocean is unique, not just because of its size, but because of the number of ley lines that travel across it. We mentioned Easter Island. Now let's go a little bit further north to Maui, Hawaii, all of the islands of Hawaii have many ley line crossings, which makes the entire region an extremely high energy. Like Mount Shasta, this was also the location of the ancient Lemurians. Now, the Haleakala volcano in Maui has a very unique energy, maybe because it matches the Schumann resonance of 7.83 cycles per second. Now, you're going to say, all right, Matt, what is the Schumann resonance? Well, I'm going to tell you. The Schumann resonance, which is also known as Mother Earth's natural heartbeat rhythm, is a 7.83 hertz frequency that matches the alpha theta brainwave frequency in the human brain. Okay, alpha theta brainwave frequencies are relaxed, dreamy, sleepy, that kind of stuff. Okay, so something we would connect with, say, like meditation.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also when cell regeneration and healing occurs. And listen, I tell patients this often. I need you to sleep. Okay.
Yep.
You know, I tell folks that get bent out of shape about taking pain medications, and I tell them, if you take it how your doctor is prescribing it, you'll be just fine. But you need to take it before you go to bed so that you can rest, because that is when healing occurs. That is not speculation. That's science of the human body. You know, that we know that without sleep, without restful sleep, a lot of bad things begin to happen to our body.
And
this is where this occurs. So you tap into these alpha theta frequencies. Maybe you don't have to necessarily be asleep in order to harness this healing power. Maybe you can meditate to the point where all of the junk is out of your mind and you're focused and connected with the earth, and your body begins to heal.
Yeah.
Now, there is absolutely no doubt that we as the human race is out of balance from Earth's electromagnetic frequency. For example, the frequency of radio transmissions, the electromagnetic radiation, the stuff that powers cell phones and televisions and radios, ranges from 30,000 to 300 billion hertz. Now, that is a significant amount greater than 7.83 hertz.
Yeah.
Okay. No wonder we're all out of balance and we crave healing or that connection or that feeling of calm. With the energy of Maui being so feminine, it gets this, and the healing power behind it, it gets the name Mother Maui. And so I've listed a few, but there are so many others that are said to be a part of this energetic grid of healing. And I mentioned Uluru in Australia, Cairo in Egypt. Adam was talking about the pyramids. Antigua in Guatemala, Cape Town in South Africa. Adam mentioned Sedona, Arizona. Actually, Moscow is another one of these spots. The Bermuda Triangle.
I was just about to, if you didn't touch it, I was just about to talk about the Bermuda Triangle because I was looking it up and I actually have the map pulled up on my phone right here. There are at least two ley lines that cross the center of the Bermuda Triangle, at least two.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And so, you know, we've heard a lot of stories about, you know, the missing planes, and the missing ships. You know, there's record that their compasses go nuts and they can't navigate. Well, if this is an area of really high energy, then that's possibly what's causing those kind of navigational problems.
Yep.
But sites like, you know, Ibiza, Jerusalem, you know, I'm not even going to try to say this lake in New Zealand. All these places have very unique qualities, healing powers, you know, strange occurrences, and they're all over the world. And the one thing they have in common is they have these intersections of ley lines.
Right.
And so when we start talking about ley lines being, as Adam put it, the veins of Mother Earth, you know, where the energy flows. You think about the human body. Where does the energy flow through our veins and arteries and through our nervous system? That's where the energy flows. And listen, I've studied acupuncture. You know, I perform acupuncture like services for my patients. I've done it with Adam.
I was going to say, you did it on me. It worked.
Because, you know, the idea is that energy must flow through the meridians in your body. And, you know, as we age, as we become injured, as we get sick, the flow of that energy is interrupted. And if we can restore the flow of the energy, then we can promote healing. And that is the very basic principle of acupuncture. Okay. We restore that energy flow and it promotes the body healing itself. And the earth appears to be the same way. You know, it heals and cleanses itself through this network of energy veins and arteries that not only, as I said earlier, can heal the earth, if we can tap into it, it can help restore and heal us.
Yeah. It seems like like you were talking about the radio frequencies and stuff like that. It seems like more and more we're disrupting the natural frequency of the earth rather than tapping into the natural frequency.
Yeah.
And that may be cause of some of the problems we're seeing, but not to get into that too much, but to go back to ancient civilizations and the Tesla idea and all that, if he was able to distribute electricity through the atmosphere, as some people say, and have free electricity for the world, how would he do that except possibly travel through existing ley lines to all these things? So we think that ancient societies did not have electricity. And, you know, we say that because we don't see power lines and we don't see all this. Maybe they didn't have electricity in the way we know of electricity being generated. But what if they were able to tap into these ley lines, harness the energy from that, and power devices that way? Mm-hmm. So it was the Tesla idea of airborne energy, just tapping into it. That's why they didn't have lines. We don't see power lines running all over Egypt. You know, ancient telephone poles and stuff like this running the power lines. But what if these monuments harnessed the power of these ley lines and distributed it to the society there, and they were actually able to power devices of some sort, machines, whatever, maybe not cell phones like we think of devices, but some sort of machinery. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the ways that they were able to build some of these monuments, to do some of the things that we think they can't do because they didn't have the machinery we had. What if it's due to tapping into these energy lines that we call ley lines?
Yeah. Adam, you know, one of the things that I dislike the most is that question of, what would you like for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it usually is going to involve trying to pick a restaurant or come up with an idea. We're going to have to go to the grocery store and grab that stuff because inevitably there's something or some things that we're not going to have ready to fix whatever we want.
Yep.
Every plate makes all of that go away. Every plate is a home delivery meal service that is America's best value meal kit. Every plate makes home cooking easy and affordable and much cheaper alternative to takeout, but just as delicious. So think of it this way. One meal from every plate is the same price as one cup of coffee. Every plate will plan, shop, and deliver everything you need to cook a delicious meal at a delightful price.
That's right. And recipes come together in about 30 minutes, which is definitely faster than that dreaded trip to the grocery store and starting a meal from scratch. And it makes it a lot easier when you got so much going on, especially this time of year for us. A 30-minute meal, you can't beat it. Meal planning, like they say, can feel like one more item on an endless to-do list, which that's very true. And every plate provides easy to follow recipe cards and pre-portioned ingredients so you can spend less time prepping and cooking and more time enjoying good food with family and loved ones. And that's true because I'm able to get Michael to help out because everything's pre-portioned. So I just say, okay, kid, throw these bags into this bowl and mix it together. I don't have to try to say, okay, measure out an eighth of a teaspoon of that and a quarter of a teaspoon of that, and then he ends up putting 5 tablespoons of salt and nothing else in there, and it just is horrible. So it makes it's so much easier to let the kids join in, and then they enjoy the meal a lot more since they've helped.
Yeah, and my kids get excited when they get home from school and they see the EveryPlate box sitting on the front porch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for so many reasons. One, like Michael, they know they're going to get to help make dinner. And in some cases, we've let them do it themselves.
Yeah.
And it's turned out fantastic. The other thing is they know the meal tonight is going to be great. You know, it's going to be good and it's going to be delicious.
That's right. And you can choose between 17 recipes that change every week. You can swap your proteins, veggies, and sides to your liking. And like Matt said, they make it easy and affordable to cook hearty, delicious, family-pleasing meals. So, our listeners can try EveryPlate for just $1.99 per meal by going to EveryPlate.com and entering our promo code GRAVEYARD199. That's GRAVEYARD and the number is 199.
And where else can you feed your family for $1.99 a meal?
Right.
You need to get every plate. So Graveyard listeners can try every plate for just $1.99 per meal by going to everyplate.com and entering our code GRAVEYARD199. That's GRAVEYARD 199. I mean, you know, it's remarkable when you open your mind to the existence of ley lines, then so many things become possible and even explainable. So, and I hate this idea that it's pseudoscience.
Yeah.
Because if we look at history, if we can learn anything from it, it's that there were people that understood that they may not have been able to harness the power, but they understood that the power was there.
Yep.
You know, they were able to identify it. They were able to say something unique happens here and here and here, and we can draw a straight line in between them. So maybe there is some type of energy flow that goes through here. Maybe this energy flow flows other places. And, you know, through, you know, years of research, we've been able to map these places. Why does that seem so unlikely to some folks? Why does it seem like this is a pseudoscience? To me, this is, legit science. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the Earth's energy. We know these things exist. Schumann's resonance is not made up. I mean, it's science and math and a lot of things that say this is what happens. This is exactly what happens.
Yep.
So I don't understand why it keeps getting tagged with the idea. And I'd say that I don't understand. I've got a pretty good idea. It's because what Adam's favorite term being woo-woo, a lot of things that are associated with ley lines fall into that woo-woo category. You know,
yep.
Haunted places, places of, spiritual enlightenment, all of that. They all kind of, healing. They all get a little woo-woo,
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you think about it. I mean, the idea of going and jumping in a sulfur spring to make you feel better, a lot of people thought, well, those people are nuts because that water stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know they drink it too? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But hey, so in a lot of cases, these people were healthy.
Mm-hmm.
There were people that somehow cured themselves of maybe some minor disease processes by doing some of these things. So why keep your mind closed off to the idea that those things exist?
Yep, exactly.
And understand, we're never here to convince you one way or the other. We're here to just put the put the information out there and maybe give our own opinions. And, maybe I'm a little strong tonight, but I think that there's enough evidence there that, this earth energy does exist,
Right. And hey, like Matt said, we never want to be a, here's what you need to believe. This is the way it is, and this is how it's going to be.
This is the way it was.
Yep. And now we know the rest of the story. But, like Matt said, we do have our opinions, and we will state our opinions and take of it what you will. But our main goal has always been and will always be just suspend disbelief during Graveyard Tales and let's talk about this. You may find something that you had been shut off to before and you're like, that actually makes a little sense when I turn off my immediate skepticism about it. That's all we ask. Just open your mind to it. Don't shut it off immediately and think about it a little bit.
Yeah. So tell us what you believe. Do you think the idea of ley lines crossing the globe and providing an energy superhighway grid, is that something that you feel like is possible, or do you believe heavily, or do you think this is all just a big crock? Let us know. And the best,
it's a pile of hit with an S in front of it.
But the best place to let us know is our Facebook group. And you can go on Facebook and just search Graveyard Tales. You'll find it. It's one of the most active Facebook groups I've ever been a part of. It's a good, safe place. Kind of share your ideas, opinions, your experiences, and a few jokes here and there. And you can slide over to our website, which is graveyardpodcast.com. And there you can find links to purchase Graveyard Tales merchandise. Hey, Christmas is going to be here before we know it. If you've got a Graveyard Tales listener, picking up that Graveyard Tales hoodie or coffee mug would be a good Christmas gift.
I tell you, that Graveyard Tales notebooks that are in there, you can get any of our logos on a notebook, either lined or blank paper. If you've got an artist in your family or somebody who uses notebooks at work, get them one of those. I've got one. I'm about to get myself another one with a different logo on it just because I like them so much.
That's right. That's right. But you can also listen to the show and you can become a patron. And we always take time to thank our patron donators. Our back catalog of Patreon material is pretty big. You've got some shorter episodes, but they're a little bit different than what you hear on the main channel. you know, we have a lot of fun with it. We're a little bit looser. And our $10 patrons actually get the unedited video of us recording our regular episodes for the main channel.
Yep.
So if you've been thinking about it and just hadn't pulled the trigger, go ahead. I think now is a good time. You know, the you can gift it to somebody. You know, you can say, hey, I'm getting you a $10 patron membership to Graveyard Tales.
It's like what was the band that said no better place than here, no better time than now.
Yeah, that's right. But don't forget to go and rate and review us on iTunes. It brings us up the charts and it makes it easier for people to find, and it brings more folks into the graveyard. So until next time, we'll save you a seat in the graveyard.
See you soon.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.